Marla, if the coffee is ready, I'll have a cup while my perm processes, Mrs. Kravitz said, squinting as Marla squeezed the pungent solution onto her scalp. Be careful! I feel it dripping down my neck.
I'll be done in a minute.
Marla gritted her teeth as she bumped her hip against the shampoo sink. Already this promised to be an aggravating day. She'd had to come in early to accommodate Mrs. Kravitz, and the rest of her morning was fully booked. Not that Bertha Kravitz cared. She'd never considered anyone's needs except her own. With efficiency born from years of practice, she wrapped Mrs. Kravitz's rods in a plastic cap, then set the timer for 20 minutes. After washing her hands, she poured her client a cup of coffee and added a package of sugar.
Don't forget my powdered creamer,
Mrs. Kravitz called.
I've got it.
Marla mixed in 2 spoonfuls from a reserve jar, frowning when her spoon scraped the bottom. She hadn't realized the supply had dwindled so low. Sparing a moment to rinse the container at a sink, she tossed it into the trash while making a mental note to buy more later. Here you go. She handed Mrs. Kravitz the steaming mug.
Marla, was that my jar you just discarded? I hope you have another one in stock, because I'll want more coffee.
Taking a sip, the woman winced.
Ah, this tastes like medicine. How long has it been standing?
I just brewed a fresh pot before you came.
Give me another package of sugar.
While Marla complied, Mrs. Kravitz scanned the room like a vulture searching for prey.
Where are the bagels? I could use something to eat. Oh, I haven't had a chance to get them yet.
Why don't you relax? You have less than 15 minutes left on your timer. I'm going into the storeroom for some clean towels. Scowling, Mrs. Kravitz took another sip of coffee. Hoping to escape before the woman issued a new command, Marla rushed into the storage area. Her gaze scanned the shelves of chemicals, alighting on the neutralizer solution she'd selected earlier. She plucked it off its perch and was reaching for a pile of towels when a strangled sound struck her ears. A loud crash followed, like glass shattering. Sprinting into the salon, Marla stared at Mrs. Kravitz, who slumped in the shampoo chair. Her bagged head lolled against the sink. The plastic cap wrapped around her rods had become dislodged, partly shading her face. Marla's gaze dropped to the floor where broken shards of the ceramic mug lay scattered amid a trail of dark liquid.
Mrs. Kravitz, she said, her heart thumping.
When there was no response, Marla stepped closer. Her client's face was distorted into a grimace. The woman's wide-set eyes, pupils dilated, stared blankly at the ceiling. She didn't appear to be breathing, unless her respirations were too shallow to notice.
Mrs. Kravitz, Marla repeated, her voice hoarse. Maybe the lady had fainted, or been overwhelmed by fumes from the perm solution, or else she'd fallen asleep.
But then her chest would be moving, wouldn't it? And her eyes wouldn't be as vacant as, oh, God. Bile rising in her throat, Marla prodded the woman's arm, then jumped back when Mrs. Kravitz's hand flopped over the side of the chair, dangling like a cold, dead fish. A surge of nausea seized her as images from the past clouded her mind.
You can't freeze up now, girl. Call for help.
She rushed to the phone and dialed 911.
Police, fire, or medical, replied the dispatcher. Medical. I'm Marla Shore at the Cut and Dye Salon. One of my clients has stopped breathing. I think she's dead.
Her voice cracking, she gave her street address. I'm notifying the rescue unit. They'll be there soon. Marla replaced the receiver in its cradle, her hand trembling as a sense of deja vu washed over her. Stiff with fear, she stood immobilized as memories from another time, another place, haunted her thoughts. A child's limp form cradled in her arms, her screams echoing through a summer afternoon. Accusations, harsh and unforgiving. She hadn't known what to do then. Maybe she could make a difference now. She dashed over to check the body for a pulse, forcing herself to feel the clammy wrist. Nothing. A faint odor, vaguely familiar, assailed her nostrils. Briefly, she wondered about performing CPR, but logic told her it was too late. Sirens sounded outside, accompanied by the noise of screeching brakes. Any decision became unnecessary as a team of paramedics thundered in the front door. She stood aside while they performed their assessment,